Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe for this Tuesday, the 7th of February in London. Coming up today...
A growing tragedy. More than 4,000 people have died after earthquakes hit Turkey and Syria.
The French Connection. BNP Paribas reports results as higher interest rates lift European banks.
Back on the table, the Fed's Bostic says rates could now be headed for a higher peak.
The UK must get on an economic war footing. Bitcoin is coming and the British vault rescuer may need a recharge. Those are the stories we're looking at in today's papers, and I'm Leanne Gerrans.
Plus, pretty incoherent. Danny Blanchflower pulls no punches in his assessment of Bank of England rate setters.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe on DAB Digital Radio London, Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington DC, Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Stephen Carroll.
And I'm Caroline Hepke. Here are the stories that we're following today.
Rescue teams are continuing the search for survivors from toppled buildings in Turkey and neighbouring Syria. At least 4,000 people have died after an earthquake with a magnitude of 7.7 hit the border between the countries. Mark Lowcock is the UN's former Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs. He's concerned about help reaching affected parts of Syria.
Millions who have fled the fighting during the civil war away from the Syrian military authorities are basically encamped in very rudimentary conditions, which may be the places worst affected in Syria by this earthquake.
That was the former UN Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs, Mark Lowcock. Rescue teams from overseas have begun arriving in Turkey today as millions are without power or heat in freezing temperatures. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan says his country is facing the strongest disaster in a century.
And now let's get to results from France's BNP Paribas. So they've reported fixed sales and trading revenue for the fourth quarter that beat average analyst estimates. BNP Paribas' fourth quarter fixed sales and trading revenue coming in at 1.09 billion euros, well above the estimated 855 million. They're also planning a 5 billion euro buyback for 2023, raising their 2025 targets. BNP Paribas' fourth quarter net income is 2.15 billion euros. That, though, is a miss on the estimated 2.29 billion.
Just to get to the latest results next, from SoftBank, their third quarter Vision Fund's loss is 660.1 billion yen. That was versus a profit of 50.4 billion year on year. So that is the latest that we're getting from SoftBank.
Now, Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic has told Bloomberg that the terminal rate could be headed higher. The Atlanta Fed president doesn't vote on policy this year and says that the base case is still for rates to peak at 5.1%. Meanwhile, the U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says that January's red hot jobs report shows the U.S. economy is still on track for a soft landing. Here's what she's told ABC's Good Morning America.
You don't have a recession when you have 500,000 jobs and the lowest unemployment rate in more than 50 years. So what I see is a path in which inflation is declining significantly and the economy is remaining strong.
That was the former U.S. Treasury Secretary and former Fed Chief Janet Yellen. Bloomberg will be speaking to the current Fed Chief later today. You'll be able to listen to that interview from 5 p.m. London time.
Former Bank of England policymaker Danny Blanchflower says collapsing house prices will push the UK central bank towards rapid rate cuts. Speaking to us here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, Blanchflower didn't mince his words.
What people should see is a collapsing housing market, a slowing economy. And the reason is that these interest rate hikes that have been going crazily haven't actually impacted the economy yet. So what you have is shocks caused by COVID, shock caused by the Ukraine war, shocks caused by energy price rises. And then the central bank goes and makes it worse.
We're bringing you more of that interview with the former MPC rate setter Danny Blanchflower now at Dartmouth College in a few minutes' time. His comments come less than 24 hours after the Bank of England policymaker Catherine Mann urged her fellow rate setters to, quote, stay the course and carry on raising rates.
It's understood that the Prime Minister is going to announce a reshuffle of his cabinet today and is considering major changes to a government department. Bloomberg's Samuel Etienne reports.
Rishi Sunak is trying to reset his premiership after a rocky first 100 days in office. The Prime Minister needs to appoint a new Conservative Party chair after he sacked Nadeem Zahawi over a tax scandal more than a week ago. Now Bloomberg has learned that a wider overhaul is being planned. This as officials have held talks with ministers in recent days on breaking up the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy. Sunak is said to be unimpressed with the department's focus on energy, which has left little capacity to produce significant pro-business policies. One option being discussed is creating a standalone Department of Energy and a separate office for business and trade. In London, I'm Samuel Etienne, Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
Credit Suisse is delaying a much-anticipated compensation day for some of its bankers. Sources say meetings about bonuses due to be held on Tuesday have been cancelled. Bloomberg understands the change mainly affects bankers at a managing director or director level and that talks could be rescheduled in the weeks ahead. The news comes after the lender announced that it will pay senior bankers an upfront cash award this year to incentivize staff to stick with the lender.
Okay, those are a few of our top stories this morning. Just in terms of a bit more detail around BNP Paribas, yes, they're going to do this share buyback. Also, they seem to have done particularly well in their FIC trading business. This, of course, has been an area of real strength in terms of fixed income for the lender. So they made 1.1 billion euros there. But they're also setting up bigger goals for the year ahead. So it does seem to be a pretty strong showing in terms of BNP Paribas and their fourth quarter earnings.
Yeah, and in terms of SoftBank, we're getting more details there as well. Their third quarter net loss, so over 780 billion yen. They had been estimated to make a profit in the third quarter of over 200 billion yen. So a really big miss from there. And as we were telling you, the Vision Funds loss there of 660 billion yen for the third quarter. That had been versus a profit year on year. So that is the latest from SoftBank as well. Caroline, I was also just interested to see the latest number on retail sales out from the British Retail Consortium this morning. So disappointing last month, retail sales rising by just 4.2% year on year in January. So that's around half of the pace of December, down from growth of almost 12% the year previously. I did notice, though, one of the areas that spending was up, strongest categories, men's outfits and shoes. I read this as I discovered that I have a hole in the elbow of my jacket. So perhaps I have not been spending enough on outfits.
Well, I think it's just notable, isn't it, that there was a splurge for Christmas and then come January, the consumer in Britain is under a lot more pressure. Yeah, maybe you need to buy your new jacket, Stephen. Right, the UK must get on to an economic, quote, war footing. Bitcoin apparently is coming and British Vault, the rescuer there, may need a recharge.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
The Paper Review on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The news you need to know from today's papers.
Bloomberg's Leanne Gerrans joins us now for the newspaper review then. So the headline in the Telegraph, only an economic war footing can beat Biden's subsidy blitz. That word should be used advisedly, of course, but what are the details around this?
Yes, indeed, Caroline. Good morning to you. So the Telegraph is reporting business leaders are now urging Rishi Sunak to unveil these radical reforms. And this comes as the US races to attract foreign investments with subsidies. In a letter to the Prime Minister, the chief executives of Virgin Atlantic, Coutts, Heathrow Airport, and also Rolls-Royce nuclear power project are demanding a UK plan, and this is really to counteract the US Inflation Reduction Act. Joe Biden's $369 billion subsidies package has already, apparently, according to the Telegraph, attracted investment away from the UK, as they do plan to go to the US instead. Later today, business leaders are going to warn that the UK needs to move to this economic war footing, pretty strong words there, Caroline, and exploit its existing advantage in energy industries connected to nuclear, wind, hydrogen, and also biofuels. And it's also important to note the EU is currently preparing its very own financial incentives package. So this is really a warning that we could be left behind unless we do make some radical changes.
OK, let's turn to The Guardian next. Has a story on Britcoin. Digital currency could be in use by the end of the decade.
I know, we could go completely cashless, but we could be using a new digital pound by the end of the decade too. And this comes as the Bank of England and the Treasury begin drawing up these new plans. According to The Guardian, the government is really speeding up its response. And this is because of the rise of privately issued cryptocurrencies and stable coins. We do know that they can be volatile, and this will be with a public consultation process on Britcoin, which is going to start today. It's also going to last for 4 months. The bank and the Treasury are really going to try and reassure the public that the state-backed digital currency dubbed Britcoin is going to be as safe as cash, and this is really following the collapse of FTX that we have seen. But the Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, says the government could still decide against going ahead with this. But momentum behind the idea is really building. So Stephen and Carol, I wonder, Caroline, not Carol, Stephen is Carol, all in one word. I wonder how you feel about going completely cashless, because this would work much like paper money.
So what's the point is my question. Like if it's very similar to, you know, just having a digital bank account, I don't get it. I mean, it's been very criticised, actually. It's not Bitcoin. The whole point of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies is that they are untethered to the nation state, right? That's the whole kind of advantage of them. This would be the absolute opposite. Loads of people have poured cold water on it. A solution in search of a problem, apparently, according to the Lords Economic Affairs Committee. Sorry, I'm being very negative.
No, it's okay. But I just want to say that I've lost my bank card again, so I can't get up cash. This is a daily occurrence in my life. So sometimes if I just feel that we can't have any cards or anything like that.
Forgetfulness is not, yes, not a solution to that.
It's not a solution to this problem, but hopefully this will become something that helps people like me.
All right, Leanne, let's turn to The Times next. It has the headline, British Vault Rescuer Needs a Recharge.
Yes, indeed. So EY is hopeful of completing the sale of British Vault. Now, we have spoken about this before on the programme, and it's this failed project to build this big gigafactory to make electric car batteries on the Northumbrian coast this week. Now, an Australian company, Recharge, has really won the bid to revive this failed project. But according to Alistair Osborne, he's been writing a comment piece for The Times. Now, he's questioning if the startup will really actually be successful and if it is what the project needs to be revived and have a new life. In the article, Osborne points out that Recharge is backed by a New York-based investment outfit, which is led by the former PwC partner, David Collard. He points out Collard's first key venture was actually supplying PPE key during COVID, and he questions how his AI and medical technology fronts have any links to electric cars. Collog's interest in British Vault was facilitated by none other than Beefy. Now, if you're a cricket fan, you know who Beefy is. That's Ian Botham. And now he's not just a cricketer. He is a trade envoy to Australia. He's really helped coordinate this whole bid. But no one has disclosed what Collard is actually paying for this. But this, on a serious note, is really important, as Alistair points out, that building this battery plant is seen as an absolutely vital part of securing the future for UK car manufacturing. But he is questioning, is this the right company going ahead? Is this startup going to make things happen for, you know,
British Vault? Listen, British Vault is in administration, so that's the issue. So this whole thing could be could happen in the next 7 days. In fact, Bloomberg's Siddharth Philip has also a kind of piece on this, less opinion, bit more factual. But he says, yeah, it's going to be wrapped up in the next 7 days. So very nice.
And
thank
also,
so
200 jobs, Caroline, were lost when it went into administration. Because could we see those people coming back to work if this has taken over?
Let's see.
So there's lots of questions around British Vault at the moment.
All right, Leanne Gerrans, thank you very much for that look at the newspapers.
Now, the Bank of England is getting it totally wrong by continuing to increase interest rates despite forecasting a dramatic drop in inflation over the medium term and a long recession for Britain. Now, that is the view of Danny Blanchflower, Professor of Economics at Dartmouth College and former Monetary Policy Committee member at the Bank of England.
We spoke to him after Catherine Mann's comments on the need for higher rates on Monday, and he was typically colourful and pointed in his criticism of the bank. Policy incoherence, he says, and the damage ahead for the UK economy.
Some of the story at the Bank of England is that they can be less hawkish. I think what you're going to see in the UK is you're going to see the central bank having to respond to really bad data. And so you're going to start to see more, we're seeing house prices tumbling. You're going to start to see really bad stuff appearing as these economies slow fast. And the central bank and the markets are then going to respond to that. So I'm sitting here waiting, and central banks are sitting there thinking, oh, goodness, let's hope this idea of a soft landing is fine, and we're not going to see a shoe drop. And my bet to the listeners here is that shoes will drop.
Well, what does that mean for jobs, recession, or the UK economy generally then in the next 6 months?
Well, I mean, if you think of the UK economy, clearly the central bank has forecast a recession lasting longer. Think of it, a recession lasting longer than happened in the Great Recession in 2008 and 9. Jeremy Hunt has actually imposed a huge austerity budget. So that austerity bites. The raising of rates bites, but it hasn't bitten yet. They take a time to have an effect, just so listeners understand. As I sat at the Bank of England, my job was to think about what inflation was going to be at about 18 months to 2 years down the road. And you change rates now because it takes time to have an effect. So what we're going to see, what people should see, is a collapsing housing market, a slowing economy. And the reason is that these interest rate hikes that have been going crazily haven't actually impacted the economy yet. So what you have is shocks caused by COVID, shock caused by the Ukraine war, shocks caused by energy price rises, and then the central bank goes and makes it worse. So slowing's coming. The only issue then is what will policymakers do, and will they respond pretty quickly? And as I say, at the Bank of England, we already have Dingra and Tenreiro saying we shouldn't be doing this, and that's going to move rates. The idea that Catherine Mann has, who represents the interests of banks, not that of ordinary people, is that we're going to see rapid U-turns as economies slow. And we saw today, we just got numbers out this morning, PMI in construction in the UK today is horrible, shows rapid slowing. I looked at the European one similarly. So you're likely to see collapses in construction coming. And that's the first thing we're seeing, because that's what rise in interest rates do. They slow the mortgage market, slow the housing market, and then it feeds through to jobs and other things.
Is there something uniquely British about these issues, though? I mean, you've drawn comparisons and parallels between the Fed and the Bank of England, but the UK economy, as you well know, is very different to the US economy. Is there an aspect that is going to be a uniquely British problem here as a result of this?
Yes, yes, it's called Brexit. I mean, Brexit is obviously a uniquely bad thing. I mean, I have opposed it tooth and nail from the very beginning. Here's another thing which people forget. When I sat on the Bank of England, Northern Rock collapsed, and there were thousands of people out in the streets queuing up outside banks. That didn't happen in the United States when Lehman Brothers failed and so on. So the UK had a bank collapse where people were out in the streets. The ability of the government to control things, I think, is weaker here because we saw them crash the stock market, crash the foreign exchange market, crash the bond market, and we had three prime ministers in a short time. So I think the UK economy sits much more on a knife edge than the US economy does, which is much more bounce back ability and more credible economic institutions and policymakers. I think that's inherently true.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, your morning brief on the stories making news from London to Wall Street and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed every morning on Apple, Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning on London DAB Radio, the Bloomberg Business app and Bloomberg.com.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox president Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.